First Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. Well, first of all, let me say thanks to Brian for filling in last week and leading the folk in preparation for the Lord's Supper. That was very helpful. 2 weeks ago, we were looking at verse 14, as we have been for a few weeks now, and we looked at that phrase, comfort the faint-hearted. And we saw that this word faint-hearted meant an undeveloped soul or a young soul. Then the word comfort means to come alongside of, to speak soothingly. And so what that told us is that there are those in our midst who are faint-hearted. There are Christian people who are weak-hearted or faint-hearted or feeble-minded, as the word is translated, who do struggle with things and who are weak in that sense. And so we were taught then to come alongside, to speak soothingly. And so how do we come alongside of somebody who is faint-hearted? With the word, with encouragement, and with tender care and compassion. And I think that one of the things that to remember about that is just to remember that just because they are faint-hearted doesn't mean they're weak in their faith or something like that. They could be very strong in their faith and still be faint-hearted, still be struggling with things, but still be trusting in the Lord. And so, as we've been doing with each phrase, then in verse 14, we are called there at the end to be patient with all. And that is the thing that we need to remember. Each one of these phrases, to warn the unruly, to comfort the faint-hearted, and even tonight to uphold the weak, is to be patient with all. Because the Lord is dealing with us all at different times in our life, at different situations in our life. And so we are to be patient with others as He is with us. Because the Spirit of God is training us to be ready to come alongside people who are in need of care. And we are called to do that, to care for one another. Well, tonight then we're going to look at that phrase, uphold the weak. Uphold the weak. And the command there is to uphold. And this means to stand opposite of. Or it can also mean to stick to. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it's been said that Christianity is the only, and I don't think this is the only, but it's one of the groups that often eats its wounded. And when we see somebody, sometimes it's Christianity is known for when people are down or hurting, or they have strayed, or whatever it might be, that we don't rush to help them. We tend to ignore them or let them go their way. And that's what that phrase is based on. But one of the things I was thankful for at Synod was to see some very compassionate responses to people who were hurting or who we might consider to be weak. So we are called here to uphold, which means to stand opposite of, which is like if somebody is falling, what do? You get in front of them or you get beside them to keep them from falling, to uphold them. And who are we then to uphold? The weak. We are to uphold the weak. And who are the weak? Who might you think are the weak? In the church. New Christian people who don't know how to deal with certain things, or don't know how to deal with suffering or hard times, or even truth that they're hearing being preached and taught. Those things might be new to them. And that is very true. Even new Christians, a lot of times they may have a religious background and had certain thoughts or ideas about how things work. And then they hear the word preached truthfully, and then it can be hard for them to come to grips with. Who else might be weak in the church? That any one of us could be weak at certain times in our life, right? Any one of us could be going through a trial that causes us to be down or falling or weak at different points in our life. Who might be weak in the church that might be a surprise to you? I don't mean a particular person. I mean, it's hard to answer that question. Sometimes we think the weak are those who look weak. But sometimes people are weak who look strong. Could be going through the same kind of trials or tough situations. This word weak can mean either spiritually or physically weak. And so when we talk about it that way, then we have to realize that each one of us has probably gone through times when we were the weak ones and we needed somebody else to uphold us. And so that's a good reminder that when we see somebody who might be going through a period of weakness, it could be weakness even in their own sin. They could be living in sin and be weak in that regard. But that's not the time for us to run away from them and neglect them, but to come alongside and uphold them with what would be appropriate. One other thing we need to remember is we ask ourselves, have we ever been weak? And I mentioned this, last Sunday, maybe. When did Christ die for us? What was our condition? All right? And we were without what? Without strength. And this is the same word that is used here in the weak, is the same word that's used in Romans 5:6. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So what does that tell us what that word means there, when we were without strength? When we were not able to do anything for ourselves in this regards towards salvation, we weren't able to do anything. We were weak and without strength. We couldn't do it. And so we needed Christ to do it, to die for us when we were without strength. And just say also that the weak person is not necessarily a person who has a different view on a scriptural topic than you do. We might say, well, that person's weak because they don't believe what I believe. That's not necessarily true. It could be true, but it's not necessarily true. They could be weak in their faith or weak in their practice, or even weaken their Christian liberty. Could somebody read Romans 14, verses 1 to 2? And then somebody else read Romans 15, verses 1 to 3. So here we're talking about that situation where some people would not eat meat because it had been offered to idols. And even though the meat itself in and of itself wasn't evil, they had a conviction that they could only eat vegetables. And so Paul is looking at them and saying, yeah, they might be weak in this regard because really, they have the freedom and the liberty to eat this meat. But what are we to do with those people who have that weakness? We're not to cast them aside and doubt their faith and doubt who they are, whatever, but we are to accept them. Why? Because who accepts them? The Lord accepts them, doesn't he? He is their servant, and the Lord accepts them. Okay? So someone read Romans 15, verses 1 to 3.
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me.
Okay, so here we see that the strong are to bear the weak. We are to help with the burdens of the weak, even as Christ bore our burden. And held us up, upheld us, because we were weak as well. Now, one of the questions I ask is, and it was kind of a confusing question, but I'll just say it. Sometimes people who look strong can be the weak ones. That doesn't mean everybody who looks strong is weak. I'm just saying it's not always the case. That a person who may look like he's got it all together or she's got it all together doesn't mean that they're not going through a very hard time, which causes them to be weak in some regard. And we see a little bit of an example of this. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to look at verses 31 to 34. And here we have a case of Jesus bearing with the weakness of somebody who looked very strong, and that's Peter. Peter was one of the leaders of the apostles, and we know him to be, most of the time, a very outspoken person. And when Jesus would ask them something, Peter was oftentimes answering for the group. And And so he would be considered one of those people who looked strong. But Peter had a lot of weaknesses. And Jesus was pointing out one of those here. Let me read this, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. And this is that situation in their day when Jesus was telling Peter that he was going to deny him as Jesus was about to go to the cross. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Sounds like a strong guy, doesn't it? Then he said, Jesus said to him, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." Well, we don't have this same insight that Jesus had about Peter. We don't have that about other people. We usually see people in their weakness after something has happened. But Jesus knows this is going to happen. Being sovereign Lord, he knows that Satan has sought to sift Peter as wheat. And he knew that Peter would be under attack. And he knew that Peter would be weakened by this attack. And he was weakened by this attack. And he would be without strength. So what did Jesus do to uphold Peter? What do you see? Pray for him. And we cannot discount that. Praying for those who are weak. We can't discount that. We need to do that. And we need to make sure that we don't just say, "I'll pray for you." We've probably all been guilty at one time or another telling somebody who we know are struggling, "Well, I'll pray for you." And then we get busy and life takes over. And not even necessarily bad things, just the good things of life the Lord has given us, they take over and we end up not praying for them. But Jesus says, "I have prayed for you." And so that's a very strong statement in leading us to follow Jesus' example here. What did Peter think about himself? When he says, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death," what he was really saying was, "There is no way that I will deny you. I would die first before I would deny you." So he thought he was fairly strong, but Jesus was really taking this time to point out, "You're very weak in your devotion," like you just made that comment there. He thought he was something that he wasn't. And so Jesus points this out to him. But also notice what else Jesus points out to him when he says, "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers." Jesus knows that he's going to fail, but he's praying that his faith would not fail. So he knows he's going to fall, though he's going to be weak for a time. Jesus is going to use him later to strengthen others. So that had to be some encouragement to Peter. So he says, "Satan wants to sift you like wheat, that your faith, and I pray for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." When he says, "When you have returned to me," what was he indicating to Peter was going to happen? Even before he said, "You're going to deny me." When you have returned to me, that means what? He's going to depart from him for a while. So he's indicating to him, "You're going to fall. And now when you return to me, strengthen your brethren." So he is also telling him, though, when you return, Lord himself. What is Jesus telling Peter? "Though you are going to be here, though you will fall, I'm going to be here." So Jesus was encouraging him, not only that I'm going to be here, but I'm going to use you. I want you to strengthen your brethren. Which, what does that tell us about the brethren? They're also weak. They're going to need strengthening, and they would need that. And so here in this short little event in Jesus' life, in Peter's life, we can't, like I said, in advance say to somebody, "I know you're going to fall, but I pray for you." But we do deal with people all the time who have fallen. We do deal with people all the time who we know they are going through a time of struggle and it's causing them to be weak. And though we can't say, I have prayed for you necessarily, maybe we have, but we can say, and we can pray with them. And I would say on a practical side of things, this is one of the things that I think I have learned over the last, I bet it's maybe 5 or 6 years, that I've stopped saying just all the time, I will pray for you. But I've taken the time to say to somebody, let's go over here and pray. And pray with them. And I can't tell you how many times that when I've done that, how much encouragement that brought to the person at that very moment when you pray for them. And so there's times when you won't be able to do that, but if it's available to you, rather than say, I will pray for you, say, let's pray, and I'll pray for you right now. So I want you to see from this that we can bear people up. We are gifted by God to do that. He's calling us to do it, just like Jesus did. And he did it in prayer in verse 32, saying, but I have prayed for you. He did it in person. He held him up in person when he said, when you have returned to me, he was letting him know in advance, I will be here and I will receive you. I will be here and I will receive you. So that second definition that I gave you about what it means to uphold somebody was to stick to them. To stick to them. And Jesus was saying to Peter, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to be here for you. And then also, he encouraged him in principles from God's word. And where do we see this? In verse 32, that your faith should not fail. That's what he was praying for. And he was letting Peter know that his faith would not be cut off. It would not be eclipsed. Jesus had already told Peter that he was blessed because God had revealed something to him. And that was in Matthew 16, verses 16 to 17, when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said this, that, or the other. Elijah, some John. But who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so there is a statement of faith. And it is our statement of faith as well, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus was telling him, this faith that you're demonstrating, that statement came from the Lord. And I prayed that that faith would not fail. And so he was encouraging him that even though he was going to fall, this faith would not fail. So he was using Peter's confession to give evidence to Peter back in Matthew 16. This didn't come from man. This came from the Lord. And you're believing this, and that is your faith. So he was blessed by God because God had revealed that to him and given him that faith. And so even in saying to Peter, your faith should not fail, he's saying you have something. Your faith is real. Sometimes that's what we need to tell people whom we know are Christian people, and they are suffering, and they are weakened, and we need to encourage them about their faith in Christ, and His love for them, and His willingness to stick to them and receive them back. So in Jesus we see that He upheld Peter by prayer, by being there for him in person, and by principles from God's Word. And we can do these things as well. We can do these just like Jesus did. But it takes investment of your life. It takes time to be with people, to pray with them. It takes time to not give up on them. This would have been a prime opportunity for Jesus to say, if he were willing to give up, is to say, well, if you do deny me, don't think about coming back. But Jesus reassured him that when you return, I'll receive you. And not only will I receive you, but I'm going to use you to strengthen your brethren who are also weak. So Jesus was there for him, and he calls us to do the same, to stick to people, to uphold the weak. And then we all need to remember that we all are weaker than we realize. All of us. And because of that, we all need one another to uphold each other. In prayer, in person, and in principles from God's Word. That is what we need, and that's how we are able to hold somebody up who's fallen down, who's weak. Because we're all going to be in this situation, in trials or suffering, or even doubts of faith. We may say, I would never. Just what Peter said. I would never deny the Lord. But there may come times in our life when our faith is weakened. And maybe we already deny the Lord, even when we think we're strong. But we can't be like Peter and say, I would never do that. I would never do that. We don't know what we do. And Jesus corrected Peter. Said, not only are you going to do it once, you're going to do it three times. And so we all need to be humble and realize there are times of weakness for all of us. And we all need to be ready to uphold one another. And that's why these words were coming from the Apostle Paul to the church. To care for one another and uphold the weak. Alright? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for your word. And we do ask, Lord, that you would strengthen each one of us in our weakness. That you would uphold each one of us. And that we, Lord, by your grace, would be mindful of one another, to care for one another, and to uphold each other in prayer, in our life, in person with them, and in principles from your word, that we might encourage each other with the truth and strengthen each other when we are down, when we are weak, with your truth. We ask it in Christ's name.